Morning, everybody. This week's Parsha, Parshas B'Shalach. As these Parshas these weeks are jam-packed with so many tremendous lessons, tremendous insights, tremendous tremendous things. It's hard to believe that 3 weeks ago was Parshas Shmos, the Shibud of Mitzrayim was starting, and here we are, 3 weeks later, leaving Mitzrayim amidst tremendous miracles. And I want to try to focus on a mahalach and a frame of mind and an approach to life as an Eved Hashem, as a Jew. We know in the second pasuk of Az Yashir, pasuk tells us, "Ze keli v'anveu Elokei avi v'arumenu." This is my God, and I will glorify Him. I will beautify Him. I will make Him a sanctuary, make Him a place, a dwelling place, as Unkos says, is quoted in Rashi. This is the God of my father, and I will exalt Him. And the famous Gemara in Shabbos tells us, we dash from the word Zekei Naveyu, this is my God, and I'll beautify Him, glorify Him. This is the source for Heder Mitzvah. The exact quote is, the time is Zekei Naveyu, it's not all the fun of the mitzvahs, beautify before, make the mitzvahs beautiful before Hashem. And how does that translate practically speaking? I say the fun of Sukkah Noah, Lulav Noah, Shofar Noah, Tzitzis Noah, Sevetor Noah, etc., etc. Don't just do the mitzvahs, do them in a beautiful fashion. This is the source of Heder Mitzvahs, to do the mitzvahs in a beautiful fashion, beautiful, beautiful manner. So, I often say over this word, and I go in one direction, I'm going to say over the word, and I go in a different direction. Why specifically are we here, after Kriyas Yamsuf, this is the source for Heder Mitzvah, beautifying the mitzvahs? You can ask another question, a similar question can be asked by Hanukkah. On Hanukkah we know that the nace of the Pach Shemen was seemingly superfluous, it was extra. The Iker Mitzvah was, the Jews were saved, the few mighty, not the few learned young men who fought against the mighty Greek army, and they were able to defeat them. The tremendous miracle, that was the miracle, that the Jewish people, basically this was restored, they took over again, they were able to stop the assimilation and becoming getting rid of the Yiddishkeit. That would have been a tremendous miracle in and of itself, but yet, Kodesh Baruch Hu made an extra miracle which would commemorate the nation of the Pach Shemen. Why was that necessary? It was seemingly superfluous. And not only that, when we light the Chanukah candles, it's the one mitzvah that everybody does Mahajim and Mahajim. If you learn the Sugi and Shabbos, you know, near Yishu Beis, one candle is enough. But what do? We go above and beyond, we don't just do Mahajim, we do Mahajim and Mahajim. Everybody in the household lights as many candles as there are per night. So what happened in those two episodes, in the idea in Chanukah and in Az Yashir, that were the foundation of beautifying the mitzvahs? So the Chaim Shalevitz says over, following Moshe, he says, That if you see a woman taking care of a baby, changing a baby, how do you know if the woman who's taking care of the baby is the mother or is the nanny or is the maid? How do you know? So the answer is, you see if she gives the baby a kiss after she changes him. If she gives him a kiss after she changes him, if she does it in a loving fashion, she does it with an extra piece of warmth, an extra expression of love, then you know it's the mother. So too, a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's what a Kodesh Baruch Hu does with the Nes of Chanukah. But the Nes of Chanukah, you have to Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishakeh. The Jewish people will never cease to exist. The Jewish people are going to survive. So Kodesh Baruch Hu had to save us from the Divarim. But He wanted to show He loves us. He wanted to show that He's going the extra mile for Klal Yisrael. He showed us the Nes of the Pach Shemen. So too over here in Great Kriyas Yamsuf, Kodesh Baruch Hu promised of Avram Avinu He was going to take us out of Mitzrayim. He promised us. It was done. But to take us out of Mitzrayim in such a fashion, Kriyas Yamsuf, we know the miracles that took place in the Yamsuf itself, besides the fact of the split sea. We know it was completely dry underneath, it wasn't even muddy. And if a baby was crying, the mother reached into the water and pulled out an apple, and if the child was thirsty, she pulled out some water, and it wasn't salty water, it was sweet water. You see the Kodesh Baruch Hu went above and beyond for us, so how do we respond? In Az Yashir, in the second Pasuk, whenever we do a mitzvah, we're going to do it in a beautiful fashion. It's a mahalach in life. Mahalach in life is, we know there are many mitzvahs we do. The question is, how do we do it? Do we do it just to potter up the mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when He saved us from the nation in the times of the Greeks, and when He saved us in time, did He do it because He just had to, he saved us because He had to save us because He promised us? No, He didn't do it like that. He went the extra mile and gave us so much as He was saving us in order as an expression of love. So how do we respond? We said, Kodesh Baruch Hu, we're not just going to do the mitzvahs. We know we have 613 mitzvahs, most of which do apply to us, but of course we know whether you're a Kohen, whether you're a man or a woman, not all mitzvahs apply to you necessarily, but whatever mitzvahs we are commanded to do, we're not just going to do the mitzvahs. Oh, we got to daven, we got to learn. You got to take a lulav, you got to shake a lulav, you got to blow a shofar, do it in a way that we just want to get through it, because that's not the main point. That's not the ikkar of the mitzvah. The ikkar point of the mitzvah is to connect to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the only way to connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu is to show Hashem we're not just doing it that we have to. We're not just doing it by rote. We're doing it with in the greatest expression that we can. I remember, I think there was a advertisement. I think it was Toyota. I don't remember what it was. They used to say, "What have you done for me lately? What have you done for me lately?" So I think we can apply that phrase in two ways. If we answer a question, Kilu to Hakadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol, what has Hakadosh Baruch Hu done for us lately? Well, the list is endless. The fact that we're sitting here, we're able to breathe, we can talk. Right, we have friends, we have family, we have intellectual ability. What has the Kodesh Baruch Hu done for us lately? Right, he doesn't have to give us anything. Right, we have to realize that if we focus on that point, we're completely indebted to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. What has the Kodesh Baruch Hu done for us lately? He never stops giving every single moment, and even if we're doing something wrong, Kodesh Baruch Hu continues to bless us and give us. My wife told me this past week she went to a shir on Midos and by a woman who happens to be handicapped. I think she became handicapped recently, and she said in life, one of the secrets to being always being happy is don't have high expectations. If you don't have high expectations in all areas of your life, so then you always be happy because you never think anything's coming for you. We grow up in a society where we think everything's coming for us. We never suffer from lack of food, never suffer from lack of money, never, you know, we shouldn't suffer from lack of health, and lack of friends, and everything's just, you know, life is great, everything just goes smoothly, everything's great, but that's all a gift from our Kodesh Baruch Hu. We have to realize that every little great thing, good thing that we have in our lives is an extra present from our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Who says we deserve anything like that? Who says? So if we have low expectations, we realize, so first of all, we're happy with anything that we get, and we have tremendous, tremendous gratitude for Kodesh Baruch Hu. So then we ask our own selves, what have we done for our Kodesh Baruch Hu lately? So very nice. We daven in the morning. We daven 3 times a day. We go to Seder. We're nice to our friends. We do mitzvahs. Do we really push ourselves? Do we really beautify the mitzvahs that we do? Do we do it in a beautiful fashion? Is it an expression of our Kodesh Baruch Hu? I want to use the mitzvahs as a vehicle to get close to you. I'm not just doing it because I'm popping myself up. I want to chop the mitzvah, you know, chop mincha, chop learning, chop shaking the lulav, chop ben adam chavero. Just do it to get it over with. Or no, I'm doing it in a beautiful way as an expression of our Kodesh Baruch Hu. I'm indebted to you. I want to have a relationship with you. Zek Kelev Yameh, you are my God, and I want to glorify you by the way I act, by the way I behave, by the way I do the mitzvahs. I just want to tell over a few stories that I found this morning in Alinu Shabbat that shows what it means to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu and to do mitzvahs in a beautiful way. The Yerushalmi tells us that on Erev Hashanah we're not supposed to sleep because we can have a sleepy year. So people don't sleep on Rosh Hashanah not to have a sleepy year. It's brought down in the Sefer Lechet Yosher. I've never heard this before until I opened this up this morning. The Sefer Lechet Yosher, written by the Talmud of the Truma Sedeshin, he writes, there's another day you're also not supposed to sleep. What's that day? The day is Erev Sukkos. Erev Sukkos, we know that by Erev Pesach, you're not supposed to eat matzah. Why? So you're supposed to go into Pesach wanting to eat matzah b'tavon with an excitement. So too, on Sukkos is one time, there's a mitzvah to sleep. There's a mitzvah to sleep in the Sukkah. So therefore, writes the Lechet Yosher, the Sefer of the Truma Sedeshin, the Talmud of the Truma Sedeshin, he writes, why did he write that halakha? Because he once went to visit his Rebbe, the Truma Sedeshin, and he found that on Erev Sukkos, it was his minhag, it was his hanhaga not to sleep on Erev Sukkos. Why? Because he wanted to go to sleep that night, which is a mitzvah, with the greatest excitement possible. Why? Because he wants to do the mitzvahs with a great excitement. Interestingly enough, the Beis Yisrael, the Rebbe of Ger, I think two times ago, the Rebbe from, actually, I think he only passed away about 20 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, the Beis Yisrael once met an Avreich, and he said, it's brought down in other places that there are Hasidim who stay up all night on Sukkot. They don't sleep. They don't sleep on Sukkot night at all. Why? Because they can't sleep because they're so excited about the mitzvah of Lulav and Esrog. And they want to make sure, right at the first crack of dawn, to bring Lulav and Esrog. another approach in Hislavus and for mitzvahs, excitement for mitzvahs, beautify your relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, beautify the mitzvahs by doing it in a beautiful fashion. So he asked this Avreich, how do you understand the stira? On the one hand, you have the Tumas Sedeshen, who didn't sleep Erev Pesach, Erev Sukkah, said he can sleep the Te'ovon with excitement on Leil Sukkahs. On the other hand, you have other people who don't sleep the whole night Sukkahs because they're excited about Luluf. So one answer is, it could be that the Tumas Sedeshen, the Mitzvah of the Tumas Sedeshen took place on Erev Shabbos. If it was Friday night and you don't bring Luluf and Esrog on Shabbos morning, so then perhaps that week, that year, Shmuel Sedeshen didn't sleep in Erev Sukkahs because there was no, and he Dafka wanted to sleep the first night of Sukkahs because there's no need to bring Luluf and Esrog on the first day of Sukkahs when it's Shabbos. Or perhaps each one has their own mahalach. This one is focused on the mitzvah of sleeping in the Sukkah, and this one is focused on the mitzvah of taking Luluf and Esrog in the morning. But another, an approach, so what does it mean to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu and do the mitzvahs in a beautiful fashion with it? In a beautiful fashion, with a certain level of excitement. Another story. It says here, Reinu Eto Talmud Chochum Echot, not necessarily a well-known Rav, but a Talmud Chochum. Unfortunately, Rachman son, his mother passed away, and he was an Avelos. And the minhag brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Most of the people that we know usually cut their hair after a month, but it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, a different shita. To not cut your hair for 3 months. It happened to be somebody in my shul. I saw it. I'm used to seeing people who cut their hair after 30 days, but I noticed for 3 months he let his beard grow and he let his hair grow. Anyway, it's brought down to Shulchan Aruch not to cut your hair for 3 months. And after 3 months, he got a haircut. And what did he do? He kept the hair. And when it came Erev Pesach, he took the hair and he brought it to Sreif HaSchomet in Erev Pesach. Just like we're supposed to take, the minhag is to take the lulav. Right, that we used on Sukkot and burn it with the chametz on Erev Pesach. So too, this person felt that he's going to take his hair that he cut after 3 months of Avelos to burn the chametz. They asked him, what are you doing? He said it's brought down by the Sreifas chametz. If you do one mitzvah, you do a mitzvah with one thing, it's very good to bring it and use it for another mitzvah. So too, he did that with the hair. Why? He was mekayim in the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. Avelos for his mother is an expression of, is part of the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. So his hair represents kibud av v'aim. So take that mitzvah, kibud av v'aim, and what does he do with it? It's a chesed shel mitzvah, and he takes it, and he connects it just like the lulav to the Sreifas Chometz. I'm not saying this is the halacha, but it's an approach, an approach in life. I'm going to do the mitzvahs to the optimum level. I'm not going to potter myself up. I see kibud av v'aim permeating in this hair. I'm going to grab it, and I'm going to use it, and burn it with the chametz, which is a representation of the mitzvah. One more story. The Imre Emes, one of the Ger Rebbes, once had a chassid who came to visit him. And when he came to visit him, he didn't have his tefillin with him. So the Imre Emes found out he didn't have his tefillin. I think the chassid asked, can he borrow a pair of tefillin? So he assumed that he would give him a regular pair of tefillin. He said, no, I'm going to give you the tefillin of my father, the Sas Emes, the previous Gary Rebbe. And the guy was petrified. He started to tremble. I'm going to use the tefillin of the Sas Emes. How could it be? So the Imre Emes told him like this. He said, let me quote, I'm giving you my father's tefillin, the tefillin of the Sas Emes. Why? Because Zeh Keli Van Veil. This is my God, and I'll glorify him. I'll beautify him. I'm going to do the mitzvah of chesed. Not just in a very average, mediocre way. No, I'm going to do it to the T. When I come to Mekayim the mitzvah of chesed, there's an Indian for me to beautify it. And therefore, in the greatest way I can. Therefore, I want to give you the most chashuv pair of tefillin I have in my house. I want to give you the Sfas Emes tefillin. I don't want to give you a regular pair of tefillin. I want to do the mitzvah of chesed in the most beautiful and the greatest fashion, the optimal level. And so too, he writes the source of Alenu Shabbat, the stories of Yitzchak Zilberstein, who's a brother-in-law of Chaim Kanievsky. He said a similar story, that he himself had a grandchild who was over at his house who didn't have tefillin. And they went to the brother-in-law, Reb Chaim Kanievsky's house, to borrow a pair of tefillin. And what did Reb Chaim Kanievsky do? He gave him the tefillin of the stipler, his father, a great stipler, his tefillin. One would think, it's a family heirloom, it's chashuv. Don't give it to a little kid to use. No, when you do the mitzvah of chesed, when you're involved in the mitzvah of tefillin, you do mitzvahs in the most beautiful fashion possible. So I think these stories and the whole idea is a tremendous lesson to us. We have to ask ourselves, what have we done for Kodesh Baruch Hu lately? Very nice, we're doing mitzvahs. We're keeping Shabbos for sure, and we're keeping Kashrus for sure, and we're learning, and we're davening. The question is, on what level? On the optimal level? In a beautiful way? Zeh Keli Van Veil. if we would have lived through Kriyas Yamsuf, we would have been like, wow, look what our Kodesh Baruch Hu did for us. Would we just approach mitzvos and our lives and avodas Hashem, just, okay, let's just, you know, it's just one of those things we got to get done. Or would it be our essence? And how does it become our essence? When we approach it that way, what have we done for Kodesh Baruch Hu lately? Have we gone the extra mile in every mitzvah? In every mitzvah? I just want to conclude with the following idea that I've spoken about to a number of students of mine over the last week or so, and I think it's related to this message as well. Oftentimes in life, it's a lot easier, and we're more prone to take shortcuts. Whether it's shortcuts in our Beit Avon L'Makom, in our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and mitzvos, Beinu L'Chaveiro, you know, very often you'll see, you know, if you want to do something that's more makil, it's Yeshem al milismoch. You can rely upon this. Not everybody follows that halacha, you know, etc., etc., etc. But a person has to ask himself the following question. A person has to ask himself, let's say, for example, a person wants to be successful in business. Successful in business. Would he rely upon the not-so-well-known opinions, the not-so-well-known businessmen who haven't been so successful? Would he rely upon his own intuition to make big decisions? Most probably not. What would a person do if he has big decisions to make in his financial career, in his business career, or perhaps in his medical career, any career that he aspires to be great in? He could only learn and follow the rules of the ideals and the instructions and the guidance of the people at the top. You wouldn't rely on a 1 year veteran doctor, you know, working in the boondocks, for a life and death situation. You'd go to the top doctors, right? And if a person is investing, you know, millions of dollars, he wouldn't go to some guy on the street and say, you know, where should I invest? He'd go to the top hedge fund managers and ask them their advice. So to our avodas Hashem, we look through different hanhagos and different approaches in our avodas Hashem. We should go through the Dore Dore throughout the generations. So who are the top? Who are the top people of the Hashem? Who are the Gedolei Yisrael of our times? Who are the Gedolei Yisrael of the previous generations? We should follow their ways and their hanhagos. Because if we wouldn't rely on mediocrity in our financial life or in our health life, we shouldn't rely upon mediocrity when it comes to our avodas Hashem. And I think it's all related. The idea that when we go through, as a nation, we go through Kriyas Yamsuf, we go through Hanukkah, and we go through our personal lives, we realize, wow, how much does the Kodesh Baruch Hu do for us? The question we have to ask ourselves is, how beautifully and with how much excitement and intensity do we respond, do we connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu through our mitzvahs? Do we do our mitzvahs because, hey, we just to do them, just to potter them up and to get it over with? Or no, do we do it as an expression of how much appreciation and how much we want to connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu? And Be'ezras Hashem, if we follow this ideal of being Hisnal Lefon of Mitzvos, we do all of our mitzvos from the time we wake up when we watch Knegel Vassar and we say Berachos HaShachar and we daven and we learn to when we go to sleep say Amapil and everything in between, the way we act with our friends and our family and Bein Olam HaMokom of course, as well, Mishmizocha, to really live the lives of Zeh Kelei Ganvei. Have a wonderful Shabbos.